Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It is a little after 5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, as the Mets try to embark on finding their first win tonight, I thought it was a good time to revisit Met fans. You might have a lot of time for summer reading. There's a lot of great Mets books that exist, okay? Some might say some around here wrote a Mets book, maybe titled My Mets Bible. More on that later.
Displaying it right
I'm
now.
I'm a loser.
So it got me thinking, if you're a Met fan and living that life, what are the best Met books of all time?
Oh, there's some great ones.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The Captain, a memoir.
Anthony DiComo, right?
By David Wright.
Oh, my bad.
Yes.
Didn't Anthony DiComo write it with him, though?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. I got it right.
The cover, though, is very bold by David Wright.
Why would you think Anthony DiComo instead of...
No, Anthony DiComo wrote it with him.
Right. I know, but it's about David Wright.
I know, but I'm thinking about the author.
Yeah, it's still... I guess it's a... Which one's the one, auto or regular bio?
Well, I think it's an autobiography, right. But Anthony DiComo helped him. Like, yeah. He was a part of, you know, David Wright probably was like, I'm not going to sit here and write the book by myself.
And when you think about it, this has to make the list because... When you are a captain of the other team in town while the captain in this town, Derek Jeter, is playing baseball, I know, not always overlapping. It takes a lot of balls to write a book called The Captain,
you gotta,
the memoir.
You got
to
stop, bro. He was the captain of the Mets. When not the Yankees, you're the Yankees. Derek Jeter's great, blah, blah, blah.
If you say the captain in New York, I mean, I love David Wright.
I think you got to find a different type.
Or you could say Willis Reed. I mean, there's been a lot of captains in this town.
How about
but
the
did
right
Willis
way.
Reed go by the captain?
Say it one more time.
Did Willis Reed go by the captain?
Yeah, he was the captain. There's a lot of captains in this town. Mark Messier was a captain. There's a lot of freaking captains. Derek Jeter doesn't own it. And it's this, you know what? He wanted it, Loogie. No, you got it. You got what you wanted. Did you plant this?
You asked me 10 minutes ago why I hate Yankees.
Yeah,
and their
you just reminded me. You what? Brought me back to my childhood.
I didn't do nothing.
This has nothing to do with Derek Jeter. It has to do with David Wright. So say the book's name. Say his name.
The Captain, a memoir. It made my list.
And don't mock David Wright. He had a damn good career. What? Doesn't have to be compared to, let me be condescending. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
All right, you're still doing it.
Here we go.
All right, so I'm looking at their baseball reference pages.
don't do this.
Because on the baseball reference, you know, and football reference and hockey, they give you the nicknames.
Yeah.
And Jeets' nicknames are Mr. November, The Captain, and Captain Clutch, or DJ. Now, let's look up David Wright.
David Wright is the captain, and he also has Captain America from the World Baseball Classic.
Wow. A new variation.
David Wright. David Wright's nicknames. Ready?
Yeah.
Captain America.
Captain America.
Or the dub, but not the captain.
Well, not the captain.
Whatever. See?
Also stole that from Zach Parise. But here we go.
Number 4.
The Bad Guys Won. A season of brawling, boozing, bimbo chasing, and championship baseball, of course. With everybody, it's the story of the 1986 Mets, the rowdiest team ever to put on a New York uniform, and maybe the best, by Jeff Perlman, who only writes really good sports
books. It's a very good book, but I hated it, and it's not against him. There were certain things I just didn't want to know, if that makes any sense.
Right. So don't read it.
I did read it.
Well,
I didn't
if you
know.
Didn't want to know the truths.
Do you think I knew that Kevin Mitchell was going to do that to a kitten? You think I knew that?
I know.
You think I knew that? You think I went in knowing that? I read it. I saw it. I was disgusted.
All right.
And if you don't know what I mean, too bad. Go read it yourself then. Yeah. Or Google it.
The whole point of the book was to give you the ugly backstories of that.
I understand. Did you know that was going to happen?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I was more interested in the bimbo chasing. Here we go.
Number three.
The worst team money could buy.
Yeah.
It's a sneaky good book. The story of the high payroll 1992 Mets that were a disaster. John Harper, Bob Clappish.
It's so funny. The
funny year for young
Evan. The worst team money could buy, the first year I really remember, 1992. First game I ever scored. The first book, first scorecard in this book, My Mets Bible on Sale Today, was a game from 1992. But when I think of the worst team money could buy, I always think of 93, even if it was really 92. Because in 93, they lost 103 games, and in 92, it was just in the 90s. So even though the correct, like, and I make this mistake all the time, you've probably heard me say it on the Rico, it's maybe even in this book. It's a mistake, but not really, because in my brain, the worst team money could buy is the 92 and the 93 Mets, but really the 93 Mets, even if the book was written about the 92 Mets.
What was the money discrepancy of the two seasons?
Really, it was a high payroll for both teams.
Same, so
yeah. Still they had the same, you know, Eddie Murray, Bobby Bonilla, Brett Saberhagen. It was the same crap.
Yeah, Brett Saberhagen's hitting fun place for a while in Long Island. Here we go.
Number two.
Game 7, 1986, failure and triumph in the biggest game of
Ron
my life.
Darling.
Ron Darling. And you know what's great about this book?
That is a very good book, by the way.
What's great about this book is every time you think of the 86 Mets, you think of Game 6. Mm. You have a book about Ron Darling and Game 7.
Right.
You know, it's a game that's actually forgotten about, even though the Mets won a World Series.
It's the game we picked last year to do the rewatch on Rico Brugna during the offseason. We all rewatched Game 7 of the 86 World Series because of everything you just said. Kind of a forgotten about game because the Mets were down in that game.
Right.
It's not like the Mets cruised to a victory after the dramatic Game 6 victory. Great book. Who's number one then if it's not Ronnie?
Here we go.
Number one.
Number one. This is a new one on the list. It's called My Mets Bible.
I'm a loser.
It's by Evan Roberts, and you better buy it today or you'll regret it forever. Congrats, Evan, on writing a book officially out for sale. No more pre-orders. Get
yes, it's here. And we'll do some book signings. Tiki's joining me, which I feel terrible about that I'm dragging him out there. But he's hanging out with me at Staten Island next Wednesday and Astoria, Queens next Friday. Thank you, Sean Morash.
By the way, you know who else is the captain?
There's a lot of people. Who else?
This is just Major League Baseball. You just search the captain and
John Franco is the captain.
Carlos Correa.
Carlos Correa is the captain of who?
I don't.
Is he the captain of the Twins right now?
No, I don't know.
His nickname's the captain. My inverted ass, will anybody ever call him the captain?
And it's according to Baseball Reference.
With Houston, was he the captain?
He was a young player
back then, right?
I guess. I'm assuming it's Houston.
It's not Minnesota.
It can't be Minnesota because he's only been there for a year and a half.
I mean, if Carlos Correa was the captain, good. I always think Altuve is the captain.
Also one of his nicknames, as is Brandon Belt.
I could see Brandon Belt.
She's 60.
Baby Giraffe, Bob, or the captain.
All right.
I love getting to these rabbit
holes. I mean, you are. All the captains that are out there.
There's only four of them. There's only three of them.
No, there's more. I can tell you that.
According to Baseball Reference,
John Franco
three.
Was a captain. He used to wear the big C on his chest.
Yeah, but John Franco might have been.
Might have been what? He was a captain. He had the big C right on his jersey.
No, but it was so long ago, they didn't do like the cool nickname.
So long ago. How old are we? That was my childhood, damn it.
Yeah, it doesn't give a nickname for him. It just gives full name, agent, Twitter handle.
So last night when the Mets lost to the Detroit Tigers, there was something that happened early in this game. And if you didn't see it, I want to describe it to you because it was very, very concerning. There was a double play. The Mets actually started the first inning with the first two guys getting on base. Brandon Nimmo got hit by a pitch. Francisco Lindor drew a walk, had a great at-bat. And they had 2-1 and nobody out. Pete Alonso popped up. And then Francisco Alvarez on a 3-1 pitch, turned out to be one of the biggest moments of the game, hit a ground ball to shortstop. Javier Baez fields it. He kind of takes his glove and shovels it to Andy Ibañez, the second baseman, and they turn a double play on Alvarez. Very, very close, but they turn it. Lindor never slid, and it jumped out at me, and it jumped out of the Mets text chat.
Yep.
And I want to credit our...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter,
Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Friends at SNY, Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez brought it up. And they tried to explain why he didn't slide to take out the second baseman on a bang-bang play. Do you have the clip ready to go, Loogie? Ladies and gentlemen, here's what they said to explain. And I want everybody to listen because I don't want to give you my opinion on what they said. I want you to all form your own opinion. Lindor does not slide on a bang-bang double play. Why didn't he? Why didn't he slide? What?
Hold on a second.
Did I send you the wrong clip? Little inside baseball.
I don't believe you sent me this clip.
That's my apologies. Then I will find it for you.
So I have two Lindor clips from you. I have the Astros no-hitter, and I have John and Susan talking about taking heel out of the game. And then I have five tweets from Posted and Toasted. I have the ticket that you... This is all from last night. You sent me a ticket for the Friday game.
Okay, that's not it. Hold
you
on
guys are listening to a live production meeting right. of Heaven and Tiki right, right here on the fan.
Oh, that's John Sterling. That doesn't count. Hold on one second. I got it right here. Okay, let me send it to Loogie.
And then, can you confirm that you did not send it to me, though?
I can't confirm it because the way I record, I'll give you open playbook.
Another inside baseball thing here.
So there's a lot of audio from nights in sports that I think help. It helps us talk about this. Mm-hmm. Like me describing what Keith Hernandez said on the broadcast last night would not do the justice of hearing what Keith Hernandez
said. Right, because the more you listen to it, when you listen to it, you're like, what are they talking about?
Correct. So it's important, if we're going to have this discussion, which I think is a worthy five-minute discussion, that you hear what they said. So Loogie, and this is why he really does do a great job, I send them a lot of audio at night. Because I hear things and I say, hey, I want to play that on the air the next day. I think it adds color to the show, and I think some of it's important, some of it's probably too much.
You are so dialed in when you watch sports.
Well, I have a job. I'm thinking about the show the next day.
I watch sports, but I don't listen like you do.
Maybe you should start.
I just don't hear stuff.
I'm just kidding. So what's frustrating is that when I hear something that happened in a baseball game, the only way for me to record it, because I'm not a big technological guy, and this people are going to understand, because if you want to send something to your friend, you're going to play with me. I'm no high-tech guy, is I screen grab it on my iPad or my phone. And most of these apps won't let you screen grab stuff. They'll block it.
Right.
They won't allow you to do it.
It's true.
The MLB app allows you to do it, but they won't show you video. So you can get the audio. Now, luckily, we do a radio show. So if I want to play what we're going to play, and luckily we've got SNY's permission. Hi, SNY. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing you a clip from the game. The easiest way just for me to do it, to not make someone else chase it, is I screen grab it.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead I don't
want to go back and looking through the actual broadcast tape and then find the moment and then save it and then send it.
And I wouldn't even know how to record it. So I record it through my phone. But the way a lot of these apps work is that they won't show you the video. So whenever I have like audio from a baseball game, it's just the audio, no video, which is great. That's all we need. But then it's tough for me to see what I can't just look at it and say, oh, this is the Lindor play. Okay, this is something else.
Yeah, it's all black screen, just the audio.
Now, what's very interesting about this, and we'll let you listen to the audio in a minute, is that John Boy, who does a great job with talking Yankees, talking baseball, and all the stuff he does, in the last hour, okay, so his brain working the way a lot of Met fans are working, and I respect that as John Boy being a Yankee fan, put out a video showing multitude of examples of Met players not taking out guys on double plays.
So this is Mets, is this elsewhere as well?
Mets.
I get it. Mets are doing this clearly.
The Mets are not taking guys out.
Are other teams doing this as well?
I haven't noticed it.
Well,
I certainly didn't notice it on Friday.
The only reason I say that is because the broadcast makes it seem like this is becoming best practice.
Okay, so
right?
I want you to hear what they had to say. And look, Keith Hernandez is great, Gary's great. I think whatever the Mets are telling them is what the Mets are doing. But I don't think this is happening in baseball. Mm. Anyhow, you ready to go? Lindor does not slide on a double play in the first inning. They come back from the break to try to explain to us, hey, why did Lindor just lazily run into second base?
You see that Lindor does not slide there. This is something that is relatively new in the game. players are being instructed to do this. Yes, and the idea is that if they don't get the out there, they have to go tag, and they're running from third and the score. And also, another thing, too, another reason is you can't take out shortstops and second basemen anymore. So you can take someone out and prevent the double play. Now it's you run by the back to prevent the double play.
That makes no sense. Hmm. With all due respect to Keith Hernandez, who I love and knows a hell of a lot more baseball than me, and even Keith, I think, is saying it, says to himself, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean run scores from home? What are you talking about?
Well, I think if there's a runner on third.
But there wasn't.
And a double play ends the inning. So first, so you got runners on the corners, one out.
But there wasn't.
I know, but I think he was trying to give the example of how it could make sense.
It doesn't make sense in any circumstance, especially this one.
So this time I listened to it, because I listened to it like, I don't know, three times in the Met chat.
See, I sent it to the Met chat successfully, right. Just not Lukey.
But as I listened to it, I think critically this yes. time, what he's saying is that runners on third and first, a double play is happening, and the transition misses the bag. So you lazily go into second, so you force whoever gets the ball, trying to get the first out, to try to tag the runner.
It doesn't make any sense.
Therefore, it breaks up the double
slide
play.
Slide into second base.
And the run scores.
No, okay.
And then the other reason you can't slide into second base is because of the Rhys Hoskins things. You can't take out
force. That's crap. That's not true. And I don't blame Keith Hernandez and Gary Cohen. I think they are such great broadcasters. They probably asked the Mets and Carlos Mendoza and somebody on the coaching staff, what's going on? We've noticed. I haven't noticed it. They probably did because they're clued in even more than I am.
Right.
And they probably noticed, why are guys not slotting into second base? And whatever Keith said, that jumble that he said, is what the Mets told him. Keith doesn't even believe it. You can hear it in his voice. He's like, what am I even saying?
But they also said that this is happening around the game.
Is it around base?
I don't know. Now I'm going to have to watch. For a routine double play, what is the guy? I mean, we know what the Brewers do, but what are other teams
doing? Here's what I know about last night. In the first inning of that game, on a bang-bang double play where Francisco Alvarez is leaving it all on the field, I can promise you that if Lindor slides in and causes the second baseman of Bañez even a slight second of hesitation, there's a chance Alvarez is safe. Okay? There's a chance Alvarez is safe. So all these smarter-than-me baseball guys with the Mets, explain to me how Lindor just running into second base helps that cause.
It doesn't.
Because it doesn't.
Well, it doesn't unless there's a man on third.
But there wasn't a man on third.
I know, but that's what he explicitly said in his explanation.
And in John Boy's video, which I've had a chance to look at very, very quickly because we're on the air, he has countless examples of the Mets sliding, but sliding nowhere near second base. Like, basically, I don't even know, like going nowhere near to breaking up double plays. You can break up double plays. Now, you can't do it necessarily the way you used to. You can't do it the way Rhys Hoskins did it, but you can slide into second base. That's not true. They didn't outlaw, like, sliding in at all.
I don't even know if that's a sliding in and taking out the lead force guy on the first out. I think that's more like baseball courtesy, right?
To not slide?
To the ones that you're talking about, because I've seen those as well.
Where you just kind of like...
Where guy just slides... Like almost like he's sliding in the right field. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Or just laying down, not even close to the bag. I think that's what John Boy was getting video of.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I don't think that's an example of this.
No, what pisses me off about this more than all the other examples of slides is the situation. It's first and second, one out. Mm. There's a bang, bang, double play, and Lindor doesn't slide. And if he does slide... And again, causes like a split second of hesitation. Alvarez is safe.
Oh, that's where he gets the guy on third. That's where he's talking about because it's first and second.
Right.
So the runner, the lead runner is going to third. If the man going to second forces the, you know, you have to tag it out, then the runner that's at third can now score. That's what he's saying.
That still doesn't make sense to me. Like none of this makes any sense to me.
I'm trying to make sense.
Listen, I'm not telling you, because I think what a lot of Met fans had when they saw this was laziness. I'm not telling you it's laziness. I'm telling you there's a strategy that I do not understand. And it comes across as laziness, even if it's not. That's what I took out of last night. Are you saying it's lazy, Luke? You just made a face at me.
So, no, I was just making a face because I'm exhausted.
My apologies.
No, it's my bad, dude. My bad. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just moved, so I'm exhausted. I'm literally falling asleep. Right. That's why before I thought I made
did
the mistake.
I really not send you that audio clip?
You literally did not. But now I'm second-guessing myself because I'm so punch drunk that I don't know what the hell's
going on. It's totally okay. I think people appreciate it being taken behind the scenes on how my nights are spent finding audio to Lukey. And Lukey being like, why is this man bothering me at 11:30 at night?
On Saturday, now that we've down this rabbit hole, Evan's first clip that he sent to me on Saturday was 8:30 in the morning. His last one was 11:30 at night.
Wow.
Well, when I see something that I think could help the show,
It just goes to show you that Evan's always thinking about the show, and there's no hour of the day that he won't text me audio clips.
I got problems.
As I'm moving.
No, I know. And listen, I know this about Lugie. When I text him these things, he never has to respond.
Never.
It is literally like putting it in a folder.
It's back.
And he knows on Monday, okay, I'll get to it when I'm working. Because I think at first, Lukey was like, is this son of a bitch texting me at 1 a.m. on a Sunday morning with an audio clip from a college basketball game? He may not even play on the air.
Won't see the light of day.
I sent him one this weekend we haven't played yet.
You're right. Yeah.
The Clark Kellogg analogy. Actually, you know what? Sounds like a good time. Do you want to hear a really random Clark Kellogg analogy at halftime of Friday's Duke-Houston game?
Go ahead.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
I like Clark Kellogg.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's take you back to halftime of the Duke-Houston game. It was a very tight score, and Clark Kellogg decided to describe the score in a very creative way.
Know what that's like,
Ernie? Kenny the Jeb Smith with Charles Barkley. What
like,
is?
That's like the score, that tight?
Yeah.
It's like me in one of those airplane bathrooms trying to figure out how to make it happen.
Thanks for the imagery.
Okay, let me write that down to never use that analogy.
Yeah, you know. Now, do you guys think that was worth it?
I mean, he is tall. He is a very tall man.
What is he making happen?
You know what he's making. Oh, you don't think it's the bathroom. You think it's the club.
When you say make it happen, that's usually a reference towards something more sexual.
You going mile high.
I don't think that.
You think Clark Kellogg made a mile high reference?
No chance.
You know? Are you sure?
I think if Clark Kellogg tried to sit on one of those toilets in an airplane bathroom, his knees would literally touch the door.
So to make it happen is go to the bathroom.
Yes.
It's not, hey, yeah. What's up?
Yes.
Okay.
But that would also be very difficult in a tight bathroom with how tall he is.
That'd be difficult for anyone. That'd be difficult for you, too.
Can you play that one more time? I'm starting to think that maybe he did mean Mile High Club. Sean put that in my head now. This is why I find clips at 11 o'clock at night.
Know what that's like, Ernie?
Kenny the Jeb Smith with Charles Barkley. What is?
That's like the score, that tight.
Yeah.
It's like me in one of those airplane bathrooms trying to figure out how to make it happen.
Thanks for the imagery.
Let me write that down to never use that analogy.
Yeah, you know, what do you think?
If it was more than that, he would have it would have been some innuendo that it wasn't just him.
But trying to make it happen is a really weird way to say go to the bathroom.
How else would you say it cleanly?
To go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Go to the bathroom.
You could say it.
Maybe you don't want to say go to the bathroom on network television.
But he probably also doesn't want to say join the Mile High Club.
I don't think he was trying talking about
relieve myself.
Yeah, but that could have an innuendo of something else too.
Oh, good point.
As a big time flyer, because Tiki's flown more than all of us, two questions. Yes. Number one, do you usually use the restroom when you're on a plane?
It depends on how long the flight is.
And have you ever joined the club?
No.
Interesting.
Never. Go smash into that hole right there.
How would you define being in the club?
What do you mean?
Nothing. I'm going to move on from this.
Hold on a second. No. Look, I know what he's saying. You have to have somebody with you to join the Mile High Club.
No. Gotcha. No. That was not my question. It was more...
Now I got it, Luke.
What would have to happen for it to officially be a club member?
I think you have to hit a home run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah. And the problem is you can't usually do it on a private plane because they don't fly high enough.
Time out.
Whoa.
What? I'm not even worried about that. We'll get to that in a second. Is Evan indicating that he did something other than a home run in a bathroom on a plane? Did that just go over everybody's head?
I can't get into details.
It didn't go over my head.
You're the one that started it.
I know, but I can't finish the story because there's too much. Like, I'd have to it'd just be very complicated.
Would you have finished if there was a no-hitter on the radio that you listened to?
All I know is that, I don't know, maybe on a podcast, I'll tell you. I can't do it on the radio. Not a 5:22. I mean, I got to be too. I'm respectful. We have an audience.
Yes. All right. So pop on with Keith tonight. Let us know.
I'm not like The Rock. You see The Rock last night? I mean, basically telling kids go screw, essentially. And The Rock was telling kids off. What's that ass tonight? The Rock was on TV last night at Barclays Center for Monday Night Raw.
In that context, Lugie.
No, not like that. No, not like that. He was basically saying, all the kids that were crying because The Rock did this or The Rock did that. Well, I got news for you. Sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got. Is that what he said?
I don't want to watch Moana anymore.
Yeah, show clips of kids crying.
Moana's ruined.
By the way.
Don't worry, there's a Moana 2 coming out in November. You'll like that one even better.
LeBron into The Rock at Barclays Center? What a big 2 days.
I know, and I've been second-guessed by a few people that I made the mistake that I should have taken my 7-year-old Chet to see The Rock and not LeBron. Mm. I don't know about that because here's the thing. The Rock didn't wrestle. Like, The Rock went on the mic and he had a great intro and The Rock was The Rock. LeBron played basketball and dropped 40.
Dude, you asked the wrong question yesterday. You wanted to know, did anybody do the Met game into the Knick or Net game? The real question is, did anybody put down money and go to both LeBron and that Raw?
That's a great question. I bet you some people did. But do you think I screwed up? Should I have taken my son to see The Rock over LeBron?
No.
Because he didn't wrestle.
Right, exactly.
Like, WrestleMania on Saturday in Philadelphia is still sort of on the table. I think the prices are too crazy, personally. Like, we all have to make decisions about prices and what you're willing to pay and things like that. Dude, the prices for WrestleMania to sit at the Link are, like, certifiable.
And you can't trust those fans the moment they see New York license plates, you know?
I don't think I'd have an issue with that. I think everybody at the Link is going to be from everywhere else. I don't even think it's a Philly thing. But I also think, like, if you're dropping $400 a ticket, don't you have to sit in great seats? Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah, the ring is so tiny compared to the upper deck.
That's what I'm thinking. Am I Loogie? Come on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. But I will say this. At this point, you'd rather see The Rock talk than wrestle. It's nothing against him. But, I mean, a bunch of years ago, he stunk against Cena. Right now, him on the stick, it's better than watching him wrestle.
That's a fair
point. So to that point, to go to Barclays last night?
That's a fair point. All right, let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Tom in Monroe. What's going on, Tom?
What's up, boys? Thanks for taking my call. I want to make two quick points. So the first, I mean, I really didn't get the logic there, but what I think Keith is trying to say is if you stand up there at second, you force the throw. Whoever was running from second to third, you throw that ball away, throwing away, he scores automatically. So I think he's trying to reference something with forcing the second baseman to make a throw. I don't understand that.
No, I think he was more saying if he misses the bag on the double play, so the transition short to second, he misses the bag. He's like, oh, crap, now I got to tag him. Now, if you're chilling, you're away from the bag, you're definitely safe at first.
I don't get that. Now, Big Mac just texted me, and here's his claim on this standing up in a second base.
Go ahead.
And I trust Big Mac because he literally, I mean, he's me with the Yankees. He's me with the Mets, with the Yankees.
Got it.
Scores every game, don't miss a pitch. The Yankees and Glaber do it sometimes. The thought, I believe, is the fastest way to the bag is to run through it. Sliding slows you down. If you can beat the throw, then the fielder has to choose between tagging you or throwing to first. If he throws it, you'd have time to get back to the bag. Only makes sense if you feel it's a bang-bang play. By the way, I get what Big Mac just wrote me. That makes complete sense. But here's my problem with that. Like, I appreciate the explanation. Great job out of him. What he's saying is, hey, if you think you can beat it to second base, run through the bag.
Right. So
and then the fielder has to choose.
And turn it. So turn. Like, run through the bag and turn. Like, head to third.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
And because if you beat the bag, you're not out. It's no longer a force play. He has to tag you.
The moment you go to slide, you're actually slowing yourself down. Right. So you slow yourself down, which means you're giving the defense now the advantage of getting you out. Whereas if you run through the bag, then you get the advantage. You could beat that. And now say in this case, the shortstop has to decide, do I throw this to first or do I tag it?
But that's only if you can beat it to second base. Lindor was not going to be safe on that play.
Well, and to that point, because now I've spent time going through this John Boy video, that's not what's happening with the Mets. And what's really interesting...
No, he has other examples.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically, though, about last night, because that's the one we all noticed. That's the one we just saw.
But this does look like a pattern, Evan. Like, and it looks like a pattern dating back to opening day with Jeff McNeil that... The Mets believe it's better to be courteous and not try to hurt a shortstop or a second baseman, even accidental,
that's
by
ridiculous.
Breaking up a slide.
That I don't accept. That is the pattern that's not acceptable. If that's what the Mets are saying, that's crap.
But McNeil's reaction now matches the way the Mets have played for
the last
few years.
Well, they're not going to be courteous back to you, Jeff. How about that? Let the lesson be. They're not going to be courteous to you.
But isn't that the rule is you can't take out.
You can take a guy out. You can't do it late. It's got to be clean. There were clean takeouts in baseball.
Yeah. You can't raise your leg up and spike a guy in the face,
right.
But there's ways around it.
Look, there needs to be an explanation. Has McDonald's been asked about this yet?
I think I feel like there was a rule recently.
Well, there is, but you can still take a guy out.
And in the rule, I was just reading it, but the rule says you have to like either slide away from the path, but you can't interfere with the throw. I almost feel like standing up does interfere with the throw.
Yeah,
because you said this in the chat. It was like, dude, what happens if you run into the throw?
Right,
like, you get hit in the face.
Right.
I mean, seriously, if you time it incorrectly. Right, you get hit in the face.
This pisses me off so much. But keep an eye. Good call by Big Mac. Let's see if Glaber does this. He says Glaber does this a bunch. Now we got to keep an eye on this. Let's keep an eye on this tonight with the Yankee game.
We will have
and see if this is like a new trend, because that one annoyed me last night. And again, I wasn't jumping to the conclusion that Lindor was being lazy or not trying. It was more, what is the strategy they're going for? And if there's a strategy like Big Mac described, and maybe that's what Keith was trying to describe, of just beating the throw. Fine, even if I disagree, this courteous thing's got to go out the window. We're not courteous. I'm not courteous. They're not courteous. No one's courteous.
What Keith was describing was what Big Mac was saying. Beat the throw and force, in this, let's say, the shortstop to make a tag on you, which allows the now runner who's rounding third to score rather than go to first.
Let's go to Ed in Mohegan Lake. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Evan. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
So listen, I'm a Yankee fan, and this has no reflection on that.
That's fine.
But the way he ran that play last night is probably the reason that they haven't won a game yet. With that being said, maybe he didn't want to take out his buddy's 6-4-3 double play. You got to remember, him and his shortstop Baez or Bud.
Yeah, but here's the good news. It wasn't Baez. Baez was flipping it to the second baseman, Andy Ibañez. Well, unless they have some kind of relationship, I don't think that was it. Pete's in Staten Island. Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's going on, Evan?
What's up?
All right. Hey, listen, you know why the Mets are having such a bad time?
Go ahead.
Because they fired the best manager in baseball.
There we go. All right. Well, the best manager in baseball let him nowhere last year. How about that? I don't mean to bury Buck Showalter. I don't blame him for last year, but they're not stinking because of the manager. The last night was a historic night at Citi Field in a way that I haven't seen reported anywhere, but I will report it coming up next. So we were talking about Lindor running through the bag on a double play last night and the explanation that didn't make a lot of sense. John Boy, who does a tremendous job, John Boy Media, a bunch of podcasts, baseball stuff, great baseball stuff. John Boy is the guy that basically broke the Astros cheating scandal, quite frankly, and went through all of it.
Yeah, that's when I first found out about him.
Yes, that's what really brought him to fame. I was actually a fan of him and Jake before that. They were just doing a Yankee podcast. They do a great job. They're very good Yankee fans. We argued about the DH back in the day. He won. But John Boy did a video, and it's not related to the Lindor thing, but it's similar. It's more related to the McNeil-Hoskins situation, in which, in his research, and this guy does an amazing job, Jeff McNeil does not take anybody out at second base. And John Boy played clip after clip after clip of him sliding nowhere near second base, or not even sliding at all.
What did he say? 186. So there's one at less than, or one out or less, and him on first.
Yeah, scenario where he would be in a takeout situation.
Yes.
There's 186 of them, and everyone goes the exact same way. Jeff McNeil does not take a guy out at second. And the conclusion John Boy came up with, and I agree with him, I don't think there's any other conclusion to come up with, is that the Mets are like courteous. That Jeff McNeil, and there were other examples he showed, but it was mostly McNeil, little Starling Marte, a few others. The Mets don't take guys out at second, which is different than the Lindor thing. The Lindor thing is this strategy of, hey, can I beat him to second base?
Yeah.
It's a little bit different. Not even attempting to take a guy out or just running away after you're clearly out or sliding nowhere near the bag is a Met thing. And based on how angry McNeil was at Rhys Hoskins, it almost leads you to think the Mets have this agreement, maybe not with others, but they think they have an agreement where we won't take you out, you ain't take us out.
Right. I mean, the reason is obvious. It's because you could get hurt, right? You could hurt yourself trying to take someone out, but you could also hurt the other team.
And Jeff is a middle infielder himself.
Right. And in theory, if they do it to you, you could get hurt, which is why he's so upset about Rhys Hoskins. I mean, one of the things that John Boy was talking about, it was interesting, is it the conversation that they were having back and forth. Like, you think that's okay? And he said yes.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yes.
It was a great disconnect. Jeff McNeil's like, you think that's okay? And Rhys Hoskins was screaming back at him, yeah, what's the problem?
Right.
And you know what that shows you? It shows you that. First of all, I think John Boy has cracked the case.
Uh-huh.
And I give him a lot of credit for that the Mets for whatever reason, and I don't even know where it comes from. They changed the manager. They changed the team president. So where the hell is it coming from? Is it coming from the core of the guys? Just Jeff McNeil feels this way? Lindor may feel this way? As mental infielders? I have no idea. It's not coming from the manager. They just changed the manager. They feel like there needs to be a courtesy to not take guys out. And let me just say this as a Met fan. They're wrong. They're just wrong. That's not the world we live in. We don't live in a world in which everyone has an agreement. We're not going to take each other out. And if you don't believe me, see Friday. Because Rhys Hoskins didn't agree to that agreement. And I'm going to watch every... Now I'm watching every Met game with the eye of takeout slides. I want to see. Are they going to take anyone out? Well, we know they're not. But is anyone going to take them out? Because I assume they are.
It's interesting if it's just the vets. Or is it the young guys as well?
Oh, man, there's a reason to watch Met games every night now.
Yeah.
You're welcome, SNY.
Well, Brett Beatty was also in the video, as was Nimmo.
Doing the same thing.
Yep.
Doing this also, so it's taught then.
Somebody's teaching that somewhere in the
Who's
Met.
Teaching them?
Is McNeil
they
the leader teaching
that? Changed
the
organization.
Maybe McNeil is the middle infielder's taught these guys, hey, let's do this with Speed Curtis. So the good news is if the team's 62 and 100, you can hang your hat on being the most courteous team in baseball.
Nah, this courteous thing's got to go. And that's the theory John Boy's come up with. And right now there's a lot of evidence to back him up. Let's see if Carlos Mendoza's asked about this. Let's see if the Mets are asked about this. We did have an SNY fan choice poll where you voted at SNY.tv/vote. Yeah, it was actually sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. And the question was, which will happen first, the Mets win a game or the Yankees lose a game? Now, it looks like the Mets are going to play tonight, so at least they'll have that opportunity. And they did win. The Mets winning a game at 64%. The Yankees losing a game at 36%. Thank you very much for voting. In fact, Sean Morash, earlier in the show, said that he thinks the Mets will never see 500 again. And if you missed this, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. We were having this discussion at around 2:30, 2:45. Are you in panic city? How do you feel about this team? And so I went around the room and asked everybody, do you think the Mets will see 500 again? And Tiki said yes. Lugie said yes. I said yes. Sean said no. And I followed that up by saying, have the Mets had a wire-to-wire under 500 season since the 60s? And to Sean Morash's credit, he did the research. And we have an answer. The last time the New York Mets had a wire-to-wire under 500 season was...
1965.
How about that?
Almost 95, but they got even, right?
Yeah, early.
They got early, 2-2.
They started off 95, 0-2. They won the opener against the Cardinals. That opener against the Cardinals, that home opener in 1995, is featured in My Mets Bible on sale today.
There it is.
I'm a loser.
But they got to even at 2-2 and then spent the rest of the season under 500.
So that's the closest.
That's the closest that they got. So but they were at 500.
So if the Mets don't get to 500 at any point in this season, it would be the first time since 1965, when the Mets were terrible in the early 60s, that they ever had a wire-to-wire losing season.
I think they leave April, seven games or more under 500. It's never happening.
No, I would actually agree with you on that. Now, one more historical footnote that I had to do research on because it wasn't written about anywhere, and I understand why, because of the pandemic. In 2021, when the baseball season started, there were restrictions on the amount of people that could go to Yankee Stadium and Citi Field, and that threw us to a loop a little bit.
Yeah.
So I took 2021, I put it aside, because you can't count that season when looking at attendance. And I saw the Mets' attendance last night. I was not in the building last night. Nor did I sell my tickets. I should have given it to somebody.
But do your tickets count?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that's why I said that, by the way. I wanted that to be known
Clarifying, just so there's context here.
Yes, I only said that because of the context here. They announced a crowd last night at Citi Field of 16,853. And what jumped out at me is that is an awfully small crowd. And so I did some research this morning. I was here very early. Thank you, Boomer and Gio. And so I said to myself, when's the last time they had a crowd this small? And let's take the pandemic out, because obviously that's not really comparable. Do you know how many times in the history of Citi Field the Mets before last night had a crowd of less than 20,000 people?
Less than 20.
Just less than 20. They had 16 last night.
I'm going to say 10.
Once.
Once?
One time. In September of 2017, the Mets had a crowd in mid-September against the Phillies.
How far back are you going? Like, all the way?
Forever.
So even when they had that not 500 season, forever under 500, that season too?
No, I'm talking about Citi Field now.
Citi Field.
I'll get to Shea Stadium in a second.
Got it.
Only time in Citi Field's history that they had a crowd of 20K or below announced, according to my research from Baseball Reference, was one time. Last night was the smallest crowd in the history of Citi Field.
Wow.
And before anybody asks or says, but Evan, the weather, you tell me the weather was always great in 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. And I picked those years because the Mets sucked. So if your next pivot is, well, what about the expectations, Evan? What were the expectations in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14? I'll help you out. They were bad. They were actually worse. So the New York Mets, and by the way, it's up to you to figure out the why on this. I'm not offering you an opinion because, quite frankly, I got to think about it. I have to really think about it to give you a good answer on this. Why did the Mets have the smallest crowd in the history of the franchise at Citi Field last night outside of the COVID years? Why? We have Steve Cohen as the owner. I've been told he's a king. We have the highest payroll in Major League Baseball. We have new additions to Citi Field, some of which I really like, some of which I don't like. There's some good, there's some bad. How did last night, the Wilpons don't own the team anymore? Dude, when I did shows with Beningo in 2012, 2013, 2014, you know what phone call I would get once a month? Hey, Evan, you're a hypocrite.
Why?
How could you rip the Wilpons and give them your money? And I said, well, I'm a season ticket holder. It just is what it is, man. Like, I'm just loyal, and I'm going to still rip the Wilpons, but it sucks. So I am almost shocked. I'm like, stunned to deliver that kind of news about attendance, considering what this franchise has been. I feel a lot better about this team with Steve owning the team. I do. I feel better about this team knowing they have the highest payroll in baseball. But yet it was the smallest crowd outside of pandemic years ever.
So let's think logically.
Go ahead.
So this weekend was Easter. So who knows who was here and who wasn't? Easily, my kids are off this week.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a good percentage of the, Met going public whose kids are off school and they're on vacation somewhere for Easter. Like, they went somewhere for Easter because it was the long weekend. They have the week off, so it's basically 8 days longer than that they have off.
Yeah.
And so they're just not around.
Okay. So they were around every other year. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Well, Easter's different every year.
I agree.
Easter's based on the moon, so it's different, right?
So the calendar's the reason.
The calendar is the reason.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
I think it's part of it.
I'm trying to think. You do opening days. When was the last opening day around Easter?
I'm sure there's been a lot of opening days around Easter. I don't know for sure. I think it's more than that. I think that a Monday night against the Tigers with bad weather and a bad team, like, I get all that. I'm not arguing it. I'm just telling you it's the smallest crowd ever announced in the history of the stadium.
And that was the announced crowd. That includes the tickets that you had and did not
use. I did not use it last night. I couldn't. It was nothing personal against the team. You know I'm a sucker. I'll be there every night, but I also love my family, despite what some people say. So I couldn't go last night. That was the smallest crowd announced. According to my research on Baseball Reference, because, again, I didn't see this published anywhere, so I had to do my own research on this. This is the smallest crowd the Mets have had since August 30th, 2004. August 30th. So every year of the Madoff era, when we were owned by the terrible Jeff Wilpon, there were more people buying and going to the stadium. I don't know if that's prices. Look, I got a price raise this year. And am I thrilled about it? No, but I still paid it.
But it sounds like it's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a confluence of a lot
of things. Is it the economy? Maybe it's Joe Biden's fault. I have no idea.
And you also see why Steve Cohen wants to build up Metropolitan Park, because if you have a rainy, crappy opponent in April where you're going to try to – what are you doing before the game? Making an event. There's nothing to do.
I think that is a wonderful point. I think there's a lot of good points to try to figure it out. I marveled. Maybe you don't if you're listening at home. I marveled that in the history of this franchise that's had a lot of bad moments the last few decades, that this crowd last night was the smallest in 20 years, again, outside of the pandemic run that I cannot include because you weren't allowed in the building. So I'm sorry. I'm not including a game in 2021 that where there were 8,000 people there. And that stunned me. So, listen, people could vote with their pocketbook, right? I'm still going to go.
What happens tonight then?
It's going to be microscopic. It's going to be the same thing. You're asking me right now to predict? I think it'll be a little bit higher. I'm going to go with 17,000, which would still be one of the rare crowds. Dude, according to my research, the Citi Field attendance under 20,000 occurred one time outside of last night. So if they do it again, that's 2 days in a row.
You think it's going to be higher tonight? You have a good portion of the people who hold tickets tonight
right,
going.
And you told one of them to stay home.
Yeah, you want to talk about weather going. Forget whether they actually want to sit out there
paid
or not.
Paid attendance. Right. He already bought the tickets. He's screwed. He's gone. He counts.
Yeah, he's more, there even if he's not.
You think more people have paid tonight?
Yes, because Mondays are generally lower than Tuesdays. Trust me, as a ticket guy, I know this
especially
stuff.
Coming off a weekend.
Yeah.
A holiday weekend.
They'll have a bigger crowd tonight. But I was taken aback by that. I was very, very surprised by that. And because when I saw the number, and the only reason I saw the number is I put it in my dopey scorebook, and it just jumped out at me. I was like, I have never seen a crowd this low in a non-pandemic, like, months ever. And that got me down the rabbit hole to say, like, am I right that this is the smallest crowd ever? And it was.
And what do you think the actual number was, 10?
The actual number is always going to be lower. But yes, it was a lot lower.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.